Today on Real Radio.
You see how she was justified before God? By faith. She believed in the God of Israel. She trusted in this great, awesome God. How was she justified before men? By hiding these two soldiers and protecting their lives. Do you see that? Faith works together.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through the New Testament letter written by James. We're in a mini-series that explores a section of Scripture that really is often discussed and debated and quite often misunderstood. It's found in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. It's the passage that talks about works as well as faith in the life of the believer. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Salvation by Faith or Works.
If you're visiting, you came on the second round here. Last week, I almost got mugged. I had people telling me, I'm going to do my thing no matter what you say. And I said, what'd I say? What did I say? I didn't say anything. I'm just the messenger. Don't confuse the messenger with the message. They're all upset at me. Well, I'm going to do my thing, and I don't care what anybody says, and I'm not going to come back anymore. Okay, we need the seats anyhow. The fact of the matter is, what James is telling us not only cut to the quick of his audience, it cut to the quick of us. Are we really believers? Paul the Apostle said, examine yourself to see whether you are truly in the faith or not, lest you be deceived, as some have been. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Why does 1 John tell me these things have been written that I might know I have eternal life? I want to know it. By the way, somebody will tell you, you can't know until you're dead. Oh, what a time to find out. Think about it. I'm dying now, any minute, and gee, I get to know where I'm going to be in eternity, heaven or hell. No, the Bible says you can know now. The Bible says that our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the sons of God. You can know that now. What justified Abraham? Faith in God when it came to the heavenly record. What justified Abraham? Works before men when it came to the earthly record. You see how neat that is? Don't tell me you're a Christian. I need help now. Show me. You see? It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. Listen to this, Hebrews 11, 17. You ought to jot it down. This is incredible. It's a commentary on this passage of Scripture. It says, by faith, Abraham, notice it's not works, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, and Isaac your seed shall be called. Verse 19 of Hebrews 11. This is an awesome passage. Abraham concluded then, that God was able to raise up Isaac even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Isn't that awesome? Abraham knew that if he killed his boy, God would raise him up. That's faith. Isn't that just like a little kid? They're just like that. They'll believe anything. That's what we're supposed to be like. I'm not saying gullible. I'm saying when God speaks, we're supposed to say, okay, whatever you want, Lord. It's fine with me. That's Abraham. He was an old man who was like a child in faith. Well, Jesus, Lord God, you said you're going to bless the world through this boy. I don't see how that's going to happen if you ask me to just kill him. But I'm going to do what you said. And I believe if I kill him, you're going to raise him up from the dead. That's the deal. That's the bottom line. That's faith. Listen, verse 22. Look what he says here. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Listen to this. Very, very important. What I want you to see in verse 22 is that there's an association of faith and works, and I'm just going to touch on this, and for time's sake, we're going to keep going. Look at it this way. Kierkegaard, by the way, put it like this, and it's a brilliant way to look at it. He says, consider a Christian like a bird. who has two wings to fly. Kierkegaard said that a bird cannot truly fly right or fly at all unless it has faith on one side flapping its wing and works on the other side of its body flapping its wing. When those two wings begin to flap, says Kierkegaard, faith and works together, that bird is going to move. And he said that's exactly how the Christian is. The Christian has faith on one side working, and he's got works on one side working. And the Christian who's really, truly real, you'll be able to see because there they go. Faith's a verb. They'll be moving on. They'll be finding things. Hey, what needs to be done? Or if it's in the home, you know, I'll take out the trash or whatever it is. Or whatever the case might be, they're doers. People who know the Lord are doers. Why? Jesus even himself said to his mom and his stepdad, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? So should we." Jesus says, "Greater works you'll do than I have done because I'm going to the Father." Meaning he was going to send the Holy Spirit who was going to work through us. It's very exciting. There's an association of faith and works together. He says, "Do you see?" The word "see" here in the Greek means look at the clear fact. He's challenging every Christian who's hearing this message or this verse for the last nearly 2,000 years. He says, take a look around. Know this, faith works together with works, and by works, faith is complete. You can talk about it all you want. James is saying, I'll tell you after a month of observation if you're a Christian or not. These are strong words. People don't want to hear this. But it really is for our benefit because it leads us to a clearer reality of what we should be like in this world. And verse 23, under this same point, we come to the third, really, explanation under this saving faith of Abraham, and that's found in verse 23, the authority of God's prophetic word. He says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's incredible. Just as the scriptures said. This morning, we all read Psalm 138, verse 8. And it says there that God's going to finish the work that he started. You may not believe that, or you may. It doesn't matter. He's going to do it anyway. He's going to complete that work. And the fact of the matter is, the prophetic word of God says that God will complete all that he has promised to do in your life. Now that ought to get us all pumped up. That ought to get us excited. He will complete it. Why the prophetic word? It says, and the scriptures were fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God. The Bible will come to a completion. Did you know that? When the book of Revelation leads us to the last of its chapter, to the last of its few verses, this book will become a living reality in eternity. And the consummation of the ages will be in, the revelation of man would have been complete. All of God's works will be accomplished. And what he's begun in your life, he's going to complete. Verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. This is the second time he's used this statement, justified by works. Second time, he'll use it three times total in a moment here. But in verse 24, the illustration of saving faith. What is it really like? When he says, you see then, he's saying to us, observe that a man is justified by his works and not by faith only. A few things I want to point out. First of all, when he says, see, you see that a man, first of all, ladies, he's talking Mr. and Mrs. Man. He's talking mankind, those who claim to know God. He's not being sexist here. He's saying, those of you who are believers. He says, you see then, clearly observe, watch this, that a Christian is justified by works, watch with me, watch your Bible, and not by faith, thank God. There's the word next to that. What is it? Only. Because if you would have moved that period right behind the H in front of the O, we would have had a major serious problem in the Bible. You would have been able to find the first contradiction in Scripture, which is not at all. But thank God for that word only. You want to know why? Because faith cannot be separated from works. But works can be separated from faith. There are cults who believe they can work their way into heaven. There's a certain cult that says, yeah, you're saved by grace only after that which you've done all that you can do has been accomplished. That's not grace. Cults put human effort up front. James is saying, listen, because you have faith in God, you will have works as well. And that's beautiful. Because it's an orange tree, it produces, watch, it doesn't produce orange trees. Not exactly. What does it produce? Oranges. Why? Because it's an orange tree. We're Christians, so we produce, or through us, the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. Do we produce other Christians? Does the orange tree produce other orange trees? Not directly. Other Christians have the fruit of the Spirit flowing out from them, which leads others to Christ Jesus. You see how that works? There's an effectiveness to our walk. It's very, very obvious, very visible. But you never see an orange tree standing out there alongside the road going, oh, gosh, if I've got to produce 200 more oranges like this, that's going to kill me. No, it just stands there in the sunlight. And it produces oranges. It doesn't grunt. You don't hear the tree going, ugh! No, it just happens. It's fruit. It's not works. Works simply confirm. The third point is in verse 25, the illustration of Rahab's saving faith. It says here, likewise was not Rahab, this is hilarious, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Well, what does that mean? This is kind of weird. First of all, let's put ourselves in the sandals of the first original hearer. This is fun. James is a good Jewish man. He's speaking predominantly to a church filled with completed Jews or born-again Jews. By the way, you know what the word Jew means, right? J-E-W. It's, in fact, if your name's Judy or Jude, it means to praise, one who praises the Lord. Isn't that a neat name? In fact, in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, Paul says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly with the circumcision of the flesh, but he is a Jew inwardly whose circumcision is of the heart, not done by men, but done by God, whose praise is of the Lord and not of man. So do you love the Lord? Do you love to sing praises unto the Lord? According to the Bible, Romans 2, 28 and 29, you and I are Jews. We're praisers. Isn't that neat? In the Spirit. That's awesome. Well, the fact of the matter is, Abraham was the first Jew. And if you're sitting in this audience and you're listening to James's message right now, 2,000 years ago, you're saying, yeah, preach it, James. Let it rip. Oh, yeah, and tell us more about Abraham. Father Abraham had many. Yeah, we know that's... They're all excited. Yeah, you're talking about our man. Abraham. He's the greatest, most revered name in Judaism to this very moment today. And they're going, yeah. And then James says here in verse 24 or verse 25, he says, likewise. Can you take that word likewise and mark it in your Bible? It is an awesome word. It means just like Abraham in every way, just like what I just told you about Abraham, everything that has to do with Abraham. And you go, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, applies to, yes. And the crowd would have said, I know he's going to mention Moses. Or he's going to he's going to mention Isaiah. Or he might mention Habakkuk or somebody like that. James goes, in every way, just like Abraham was justified, yes, so is likewise Rahab. And you could have heard a pin drop in the synagogue, in the church. Excuse me, who? James, did you? I could have swore you said Rahab. He did say Rahab. He took us from the patriarch to the prostitute. To the man. Listen, ladies, hear me out. Don't head for the door. To the man, to the woman. Because you know about that culture, right? Men are something. Women were nothing. Even some of the Orthodox Jews today say, God, I thank you. I thank you I was not born a Gentile. I thank you, God, I was not born a dog. And I thank you, Lord, that I was not born a woman. That's what they'll say. They said it in Jesus' day. A woman was down here. James is saying, just like Abraham, just like Rahab. Abraham was a pillar and a leader in the faith and of the nation. Rahab was from a foreign nation, an enemy. How can her faith be an example? Oh, listen to this. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? She was justified before mankind because what did she do? She took in the two messengers and she protected them. Almost, really, she could have sacrificed her own life by doing this. And then after the coast was clear, she sent them out another way. But don't miss the point. Rahab is declared righteous in the hall of faith, Hebrews 11, because she believed in God by faith. How did she do that? She told the two men who visited. And let's say this in their defense. She was a prostitute. She was a very loose girl. But in the Old Testament, she was a manager. She hosted an inn. It was like the Holiday Inn. It was not, it didn't say Rahab's Mustang Ranch out there. The two Jewish soldiers didn't say, hey, we're a long way from home. Who's going to know? They didn't think that. They said, Holiday Inn. Let's go see there. It's an inn. Let's go. She was doing a business on the side, little prostitution thing going on. That's why she's found in two characters in the scripture. They go there, and she says, you guys are Israelis, aren't you? Yes, we are. And she said, listen, read Joshua chapter 2 and Joshua chapter 6. It's awesome. She says, I've heard about your God. He's an awesome God. I have heard that he's destroying the other nations that are coming against you guys. And I know that you're heading this way. Obviously, we must be next on your list. And they said, well, quite frankly, you guys are. You're a bunch of pagan worshiping bums. And God wants you out of here. He's given us this land. And she says, I tell you what, I agree with you totally. And your God is incredibly awesome. When you come through here with your military machine, will you spare me and my family's life? And they said, yeah, as long as you stay in your house and put this scarlet thread around the window, we'll spare your home. Do you see how she was justified before God? By faith. She believed in the God of Israel. She trusted in this great, awesome God. How was she justified before men? By hiding these two soldiers and protecting their lives. Do you see that? Faith works together. And then finally this. The final point, the fourth point, is the illustration of dead faith. It says, for as the body without the spirit, lowercase s, by the way, look at your Bible, it can't have a capital S. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The lowercase s is our spirit, the spirit that every man and woman has in them, the life of who we are. This biological machine only functions because my spirit and soul are working within me. They're alive. This is just a machine. When this body dies, my soul, my spirit departs from here and lives on. Now listen, have you ever seen a dead person? Have you ever seen somebody who just died? They're dead. They're freshly dead. They might be laying down. Maybe they're in bed. And they didn't get up that morning. And you walk in the room and you say, hey, John, come on, you bum, get up. It's time to go to work. John, they look alive. We assume they're sleeping. Hey, get up. We find them to be dead. Why? The spirit has left the body. What remains is a carcass. We may identify with that carcass. We may say, I know who that is. It's a carcass nonetheless. When your time is done in this life, this carcass will be left here in the earth. But you, who you are, the you that makes this biological machinery express its emotions and accomplish its feats, is the spirit and the soul of a man. You think this is all there is to life? You're greatly mistaken if you do. The Bible tells us in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, that we do in fact live on. In in eternal hell that we live or in eternal heaven we live. But we live. And the question is, where are you going? James is saying people who mouth about their faith and yet have no works in their life to prove it is just like a person who's dead. It's a carcass and no spirit to it. This is a serious accusation or test, I should say, James puts before us. It's very soul-searching. And so I want to ask you in closing, are you saved? If inside your heart right now there's a question mark, that is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and mind that you're not ready. If you say, well, I sure hope so. No, you're to know it. I'm not going to ask this, but it would be horribly unfair to be able to say to people here this morning, those of you who know you're saved, will you raise your hand? And then people would raise their hand, and you would go, well, how come they know it and I don't? You should know it. Are you going to heaven? Just think if we couldn't get out of the sanctuary in a moment and we would all be locked in here to cook. Would you go to heaven? I want to warn you about what is known as easy believism. I am not going to invite you in a moment to raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus Christ. I'm not going to invite you to do that. That would be wrong. It would be anti-scriptural even. I'm not going to ask you if you want to accept Jesus Christ that you should come forward. I'm not going to ask you that. That would be wrong. I'm not going to ask you, of course, not to be baptized. That would be wrong. The fact of the matter is, for me to even suggest those things, I have to first say this. It's the first thing Jesus said. It's the first thing John said. It's the first thing Paul said. It's the first thing Peter said. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Repent. You see, if I mention an invitation without the word repentance, you think I've got a golf club membership card? I'm going to get a Jesus card too. Yeah, sure, I'll raise my hand. Oh, no. You've got to agree with God that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved from your sin. There is no Savior without first being a sinner. There's no salvation without first knowing that you're lost. This is Bible. Can you admit this morning that you're a sinner, you have failed, you've broken at least one of the Ten Commandments, and you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you can admit that, then you need to next repent, and that is to give Him all of your sin and your life, and let Him wash you and let Him guide you.
Pastor Jack Hibbs on Real Radio. Our message today was called Salvation by Faith or Works. It's an exploration of the book of James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, where we learn of works being inseparable from faith in the life of the believer. This is actually a mini-series called Salvation by Faith or Works, part of Pastor Jack's series through the book of James, and we'll continue it on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, this series is called Salvation by Faith or Works. It's now on a 2-CD set just for you. Salvation by Faith or Works is yours for a gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Just ask for Pastor Jack's CD series called Salvation by Faith or Works. You can get a hold of us by phone if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 1-877-RR-RADIO, or visit our website, realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Real Radio, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact is real easy to find at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.